For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, boys and girls. What a great Saturday morning show headed your way. This is O'Neill Outside with Works Radio. Well, we've had an interesting week. Time to set it aside. No politics. I'm not sick. Are you? Good. Well, let's set all that aside and figure on going fishing, going hunting, separating ourselves from the other worries that have been going on. And we'll do that. So welcome to the program, everyone. I'm here to tell you we're brought to you every week by Works Tools, Stripling's General Stores, Tough Shed, Snellville Heating and Air, Rocco's Pub, Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Big Green Egg, Smokers and Grills, and True Turn Hooks, and Roadrunner Lures. We'll have a busy morning with your calls, plus my reminding you that you can watch O'Neill Outside Television on the Hunt Channel, Waypoint TV, Pursuit Up, my website at O'NeillOutside.com, Destination Go, and Fox Regional Television Networks all over the country. We are broadcasting you from Three Falls Cabin. We're on WSB 95.5 and 750 AM across the country, and the Sports Broadcast Network, SB Nation, 155 nations from Seattle to L.A., Maine to Florida. So you can tune us in at WSB and just about everywhere else. We'll have the Medal of Honor. We'll talk about the book. We'll have the radio prize package, the Rocco's prize package, your calls and questions, and we hope you'll join us. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 in Atlanta, 404-872-0750 in Atlanta, and outside the Atlanta calling area, 800-972-8255. That's 800-972-8255. And let me pose a question for you. If you were going to cook something this weekend and have guests at your home on the grill, would it be ribs, burgers, steaks, roast, shrimp, low country? What would it be? Call. Let's talk about it. This O'Neill. We'll be back. And a little bit of chicken fried. Back, everyone. Let's see. We have some calls already, but I do want to, first of all, welcome back to the program. Give you the telephone numbers, 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. Turkey season has begun. Aha! In most states, and spring fishing has begun. It's time to get outside, separate yourself from everybody in this cone of stuff. Go fishing. Enjoy the fresh air. Enjoy the solitude, maybe with your children. Take a hike. Walk in the woods. Go turkey hunting. Now, there's a singular sport for you. O'Neill has lots of recommendations, and I hope you don't mind. I don't mind telling you what they are. So there you are. What was I going to do? Oh, it's the True Turn Tackle Tip from TJ. Now, this is a good True Turn Tackle Tip for you and pretty. It's crappy fishing. You wear hook. You don't need this big gauge hooks. A light wire hook with a long shank. You know what I'm talking about. Make it a red hook. You'll get more bites. And flatten the barb out on the hook. There's two reasons for that. Number one, if you're catching crappie and brim, that red long shank light wire hook with the barb flattened, you will hook more fish. and a brim or a crappie's not going to pull you out of the boat. So try that. And then lastly, if you're with children, if someone makes a mistake and they get a hook in their head, their hand, an ear, if somebody gets a hook in them and the barb is mashed flat, you can get the hook out without any problem. I know I've had lots of hooks in me, and in every case, the barb was still active, and a couple of times I had to go to the hospital, go to a doctor, go to an emergency room. It would be better. Now, you say, oh, Neil, man, don't do that, because you've mashed the barb down, you're going to lose the fish. No, that's incorrect. If you're using live bait, you need the barb. That's why the barb is on the hook, to keep the live bait on. I know every year we go to Canada, to Ontario. And in Ontario, when you're fishing for walleye, northern trout, whatever, you have to mash the barb down. It's the law. And with those toothy critters like walleye and northern pike, it's a lot easier to get the hook out with the barb mashed, and I don't think I lose a single fish because of that. So that is your True Turn TJ's Tackle Tip for March the 28th. Is today the 28th? No, March the 21st. Pardon me, days are running together. And that's a good one for you and for the kids, for the children, everyone. Mash the barb down, long shank, thin wire hook. Okay, enough about that. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. It's 15 after the hour. Now let's talk to Ross. He's calling about what he's going to grill when people come over. Good morning, Ross.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill. How are you doing?
Outstanding, sir. What would you cook if you had somebody coming over?
Probably a filet mignon. I usually get them and buy them whole and then cut them to the thickness how people want them cooked. Because if you cut
that's good.
Filet and you have to cook it well, like some people like them, you have to char it pretty good. So yeah, I cut them usually thinner if somebody wants it burnt.
That's a good idea.
That's a really good
tip. Now, let me ask you one.
I was fishing in Ontario last year with my daughter, and that's the first time I'd ever seen that, where we mashed the barb down. But, I don't think we lost any fish due to that.
You know, quite frankly, Ross, I know you're a seasoned, experienced fisherman. I think it's very possible, can't prove it, of course, I think you catch more fish with the barb mashed down because you get greater hook penetration. What do you think, maybe?
Probably so, with the stretch of monofilament. And if the fish is coming toward you, yeah, you might get that hook set where a barb would not penetrate, especially the roof of a northern's mouth or even a walleye. But, Don Beaver, he's had to have it pulled out of his finger before, too. We had to take him to... the emergency room one night, he was throwing a little popping lure, a little bitty, and it got hooked around his first eye, and he went to throw it, and it came over his head and hooked him right in the pinky, just buried up, and he couldn't pull it out with all his might.
I'm not trying to top your story at all, but many years ago, I was fishing in the Tennessee River. Behind the dam there on the Tennessee River below Knoxville. And we were catching stripers. And so I was using, and I know you're familiar with it, a great big red fin. You know, the red fin's about 7 inches long, had big saltwater hooks on it. And I was throwing up next to the dam. Where the river comes out. And you had to make a real hard, strong cast to cast up within the doors of the dam. And my lure was a little bit too big for the weight of my rod. and I really torqued it up there and to cast in there, and I hit myself in the head with a redfin.
Ow.
And just, oh, man, it anchored my hat to my head. And the fellows I was with, they cut my hat off and used some side cutters and cut off the hook. And, you know, I remember the guy I was fishing with, he said, "I think I can get that out." And I said, "Is it up past the barb?" And he said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "Well, you're not going to dig that out of my head out here on the water." So, yeah, isn't that something? So we had to go to the Sweetwater, Tennessee emergency room, and I got 16 stitches in my head while the doctor was laughing at me.
You must have been really throwing it to anchor your hat to your head. Now, you didn't have a whole lot of hair.
Oh, yeah, well, no hair at all. Yeah, that's precisely. I was casting really hard. You know, because I didn't have a big space above me. I had to throw inside the door where the water was coming out. So you're right. Yeah, I really pumped it up, and I really paid for it.
Yeah, that bait used to be really big on Lanier. That was the lure of choice years ago. You remember catching those stripers on Lanier in the wintertime with that Cordial Redfin, throwing it and just cranking it across the top of the water, making that V. And catching stripers.
That's exactly right. I knew you had experienced that. I guess properly that you had probably done that many, many times. So it's filet mignon for you.
Years ago. That's who used to go on Lanier years ago, Doug Youngblood.
Yo, how about that? He's still there, I think.
I think he is. I think so.
Yeah, you bet. About 40 years.
Yep.
No kidding. Well, I'm glad you called, my good friend. Tell me quickly in about the next 15 seconds, what's your next trip? Where are you going?
Probably going down to Panacea to catch some of those triple tails. Probably going down with Duncan and going down to his condominium. And then our guide down there has been sick. He's been in the hospital, but he had hernia surgery, and he's had some complications with it, but we usually, like you always recommend, hire a guide when you go out of town like that.
You betcha.
It saves you trouble and really puts you on the fish. And me and my daughter went last year and fished with him, and we caught 33 triple tails. He keeps a guide of how big they are and just baits you up. We caught 33. She caught one that was 26 inches. And then Duncan's
that's a big one.
Duncan's youngest son, David, caught one 28 inches last year.
All right. I got to go, pal. Listen. I'll be in touch. Have a great trip. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Thank you, Ross. See you soon. We'll be back. Out in the countryside, lay back. At 25 after the hour, we're rocking right along. Let's talk about the things that you would cook on the grill when you had somebody to come over. What would be your choices? And I'll bet this caller right here, would have some excellent ones to suggest. Don is calling from
Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
You're the greatest, man. What would you cook?
Oh, Lord, we love to cook. Wahoo is my favorite, but most any saltwater fish that's got a skin on it, you can cook on the grill. And
right,
it
something
just
fresh.
Depends on what the catch of the day is, what we ate.
There you go. I tell you what, when you sent me that flounder a couple of years ago, I got to tell you, that's tough to beat.
It is hard to beat. And and there's some others over here that are comparable to that. That's the reason we eat so much fish over here.
When I first came over here,
I got to fishing with a man that was a retired pilot for Piedmont Airlines.
Okay, I remember that, yeah.
And he had been fishing offshore here for some 30 years, so he knew all the bottom spots out there. And we fished every day every week for about 5 or 6 years, 3 days a week.
Oh,
and we caught 200 or 300 pound of fish, and we gave them away and ate them. We didn't sell anything. We just enjoyed the fishing. But in those number of years, we never got a hook in us.
Right.
And the moral of that story is, do all liars fish or all fishermen lie? So,
yeah, right.
We got several of those out there, and we always had, we fished with stainless steel hooks, and we had to have bolt cutters on there, cut the shank out, and
sure,
take a pair of pliers and push it on through and put some salt water on it, and that's the extent of that therapy.
The worst hook story I ever heard, when Travis was about 8 years old, he and his buddy used to fish the ponds around their house for brim, and they would use a little beetle spin or something like that. And they would walk from stream to, from pond to pond, stream to stream. And so Travis was walking behind his friend, and his friend stopped in front of Travis, and Travis wasn't paying attention. And back then, they didn't know any better. They would just reel up the beetle spin right to the end of the rod,
right,
and walk through the woods to the next pond with the rod over the shoulder. Now, you got this picture, right?
I got that.
So this guy, his guy and friend in front, stops walking, and Travis runs into his beetle spin, and it goes in his mouth.
Ooh.
And Travis grunted, like that, and his friend turned around.
And he
set the hook in Travis's bottom lip.
Ooh.
And you know that rascal went to his four-wheeler and dug that out by himself.
Well,
Travis is a tough guy.
We had a fisherman down on when we came in from the dock. He had a hook in the a treble hook in his finger.
Uh-huh.
And we had a doctor there that was a surgeon. And so we asked him if he could get that out, and he said, yeah, I can. So he took a piece of fishing line, tied it onto the hook, and backed it out by going against the barb.
Right.
We thought a surgeon had cut it out, but hell, he knew how to cut it out like a fisherman. Bring it out like a fisherman.
That's right, and that's an old trick, and it works.
It works very good, but if you're on the other end of it, you have your doubts when it's going on.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Lord,
well,
I love
tell
you,
me,
you and Gail, you do a great job. And when we brought that flounder to you over there, she cooked that Southwestern soup. And she gave me that recipe. And every time I think about that trip. Well, how enjoyable that was.
Good. Well, you need to come back again and bring some flounder. Don't bother coming if you don't bring some flounder.
If you ain't got something under each arm, don't come, right?
That's exactly right. All right, buddy, I'm glad you called.
All right, enjoy talking to you.
You bet. Have a great weekend, my friend. There we go. Let me work this. There we go. Now I've got this thing working. After 28 years, I finally worked it from time to time correctly. All right, it's 30 minutes after the hour on O'Neill Outside and Works Radio. It was funny. I was doing some videos this week, and I use what's called a HydroShot. It's, a battery-powered, high-powered sprayer, water sprayer, okay? And I said, I know how to do this thing. And I just filled up a bucket with water, put the HydroShot hose down in the bucket, hooked a battery to it, and I cleaned all the windows. I didn't have to hook up any hoses. I didn't have to hook up any power cords. It was great. You should try that. Okay, now at 30 minutes after the hour right now, let's try out some something from the mailbag. And you can send your questions, should you like, to O'NeillOutside.com. There's a place there on the homepage for you to send questions. And I always enjoy that. And if the question is something that can reinforce an answer for you or give you an idea about that question, then by all means, give it a try. Go to O'NeillOutside.com, the mailbag. And here are a few of those. From Gary Tumlin in Dothan, Alabama. He says, I love to catch redfish, but I don't, and I know you go to many places. Where do you recommend? There would be three places I would go for redfish. And not necessarily in this order, but I would do all three. Number one would be, you can check it out on the internet. It's Full Net Charters. Full Net Charters. And that guide, man, oh, man, that's a different kind. You fish in the bay, Pensacola Bay, in the winter. And that's when the menhaden come down out of the river and the redfish gather in the bay, and you can catch 50 redfish a day over 25 pounds, all on artificial lures, and never leave the side of the bank. It's fabulous. The second place would be Cajun Vista Lodge in Barataria, Louisiana. You would fish the Atchafalaya Basin and stay right there at Cajun Vista. I go there every year. And for trout and redfish, I guarantee it, unless you're a real klutz, you and your partner and the guide or whoever's in the boat there with you, you'll catch a limit every day by lunchtime. That's probably the best red fishing or the best coastal inshore fishing on the entire coast of North America. Number three, I would go and fish with Mark Noble. Look him up on the internet in Brunswick, Georgia, St. Simons, really. St. Simons Island, Mark Noble. And the minimum length limit there, let's see, you can't keep anything under 27 inches, I think. I have never caught a redfish with Mark that was small enough to keep. That's the only ones you can keep are under 27. Everything I've ever caught with Mark Noble at St. Simons Island was too big. I've caught 30 and 40 and 50-pound redfish with Mark Noble at St. Simons Island. Look him up. Mark Noble at St. Simons Island, Georgia. Fabulous red fishing. So we'll get to more of these questions. My answer was a long one. We'll get to more of those when we come back, I promise. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. And I still want to know, what would you cook if you had people coming over? Would it be a brisket? Would it be steaks, hamburgers, fish, a filet mignon? What would you put on the big green egg? What would you cook for a very special dinner with friends? I bet you can figure out something. I tell you, the last time I had somebody come over, Gail and I put a Boston butt on the big green egg. And, you know, with a big green egg, one of the things that's so special about it, you can control the temperature. You put a lot of charcoal on it, real charcoal, not briquettes. And you get it started, and you can put it on 225 degrees. And I put that on, and I cooked it for 18 hours on the big green egg. All that smoke and all that flavor. And I put some hickory chips. I soaked hickory chips in water. Got them wet, soaked them in water, and I put that on top of the charcoal to add to all the smoke. Oh. Man, those people call every weekend wanting to come back up, but I don't let them because I just don't. But that was a Boston butt for 18 hours. Think about that. You can get that done on a big green egg, and that's the recipe. And you can visit O'NeillOutside.com. At the bottom of the homepage, you can get dozens of video recipes for big green egg and swaggerty sausage. Videos that'll teach you the complete recipe. It'll all be listed, and you can visit the website and get that done. All that is brought to you by your moon phase clock and Realtree. So at 36 after the hour, we'll get to some more of the mailbag and more Works Radio this morning on O'Neill Outside. and we'll be back.
Learning to fly, letting go of it all.
Minutes after the hour, this is O'Neill. Telephone numbers 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta area. And outside the Atlanta and all across North America, it's 800-972-8255. That's WSB Talk, T-A-L-K. So before we get back to the mailbag, I want to give you I'll ask the Rocco's question. If you live in the area of North Georgia, Rocco's is one of the fabulous restaurants, pubs, fabulous entertainment. It's crowded all the time. And I'll give you a $25 gift certificate, a coupon, okay? But you have to be the first to answer the following question. You have to be 18 years old and not having won a Rocco's gift card before. Those are the rules, and we keep records, all right? And here's the question. It's a local question. There's a small town in North Georgia. It has a strange name. Finish the name of this little town in North Georgia. It's called Talking. You have to finish the name. Talking Georgia. Finish the name and we'll send you the Rocco's prize package. Okay, back to the mailbox for a moment. And that is from, Bob Swain writing from, he says, somewhere in Oklahoma. He says, in your opinion, which species of the wild turkey is the hardest to hunt? The eastern is the most difficult to hunt. The eastern wild turkey and the Osceola in Florida, they will hurt your feelings. They'll make your lips pooch out. He's the hardest to hunt. My limited experience across the country for Rios and Miriams and Ghouls and all that, those are easy. I mean, they'll just come up and almost eat out of your hand. The eastern is the toughest one. Ralph Williams from Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you use a muzzle loader for turkey hunting? Yes, I do. I do use a muzzle loader for turkey hunting. I do not use a shotgun. But just whatever gets you in the woods, that's what you should use. Whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you're the best at, whatever you're the best at using, that's what you use, because you don't want to wound turkeys. Because, as Tom Kelly would say in all of his books, that is food for wildcats. Okay, here's a good one. Tommy Green from Covington, Georgia. How do you go about starting a fishing seminar at the local school for children? Great idea, Tommy. Telephone the principal. Ask him, would it be okay? Give him a time early in the morning. A half an hour is the maximum time that you need. And encourage children to go fishing, to ask their parents and neighbors to go fishing. They'll spend the rest of their lives fishing. But here's a little tip. Go to a local tackle store, a Bass Pro Shop, you name it. Just go to a local tackle store and ask them for a few lures, or write to a lure manufacturer and tell them you're doing a seminar for kids. So every child in the room gets a lure. They get a prize. They get a bag of worms. They get a Roadrunner lure. They get something for it. Okay? But call the principal and they'll let you do that. Let's see if we have any calls to answer our question. I thought that would be easy. Oh, yeah. A lot of people. And one of these is going to be, and one of these guys will be going to Rocco's Pub for some wings and hamburgers. Great food at Rocco's. Great entertainment at Rocco's. And evidently we do have, we've got an answer to that, and we'll find out who that is in a moment. Okay, James Smithson from Chattanooga, Tennessee writes, what are the best baits to catch big bass? Okay, if I had to choose only one lure, then, James, to last throughout the season For big bass, I would tell you that to use a spinnerbait in the springtime, a skirted jig during the winter when the water's cold, and a slowly fished plastic worm the rest of the year. That's what I would use. Spinnerbait, skirted jig. We don't use enough skirted jigs. I can tell you that is a big bass bait. And I'll tell you a story about that. I had the pleasure one time of fishing with Davey Height. You remember him, Davey Height. He was a Bassmasters champion. He was a Bass Angler of the Year. Really a great guy and a fabulous fisherman. And we fished together one day for about 3 hours on a really terrific lake. The water temperature was 42. The air temperature was 24. It was cold, and the water was cold, but at his suggestion, we used skirted jigs, mop jigs, as a matter of fact. We fished for 2 hours, well, maybe three, and I was in the front of the boat. This is a great illustration. I was in the front of the boat, and I had first shot at everything. I caught two, and Davey from the back of the boat caught five. So, looking back on it, I think that's about right. He's at least 2.5 times better than me. But we caught seven bass that weighed 35 pounds on skirted jigs. It's a crawfish imitation, fished very slowly. Water's cold, fish are lethargic, but they feed on crawfish when the water's cold. Skirted jig, 46 after the hour. Corey, did I lose my caller? I'm sorry, I have to ask. Larry's on line two. All right, let's go to Larry. We'll go to Larry on line two and see if he could give us the answer to our prize package question. What do you say?
Talking about
okay,
Georgia.
There's Larry. What do you say, Larry? Where are you calling from?
Coming to Georgia.
Cumming, Georgia. All right, what is the answer to my question? What's that little town's name?
Talking Rock, Georgia.
Ah, what a great name, huh?
Oh, man, I've been going through there since I was a kid, and the Boy Scouts used to go to Rainy Mountain, and we'd go all up and through there, and through Talking Rock, my daddy would tell us stories about that when he was a kid. Pretty amazing.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you're going to get to go to Rocco's.
All right.
Yeah, we'll send you the coupon, and I hope you enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, O'Neill.
You bet. If he's there, ask.
Yeah. Hello?
This morning. Thank you, Larry. All right, there we go. All right, 48 after the hour. This is O'Neill on O'Neill Outside. Is Larry back on the line?
Yeah.
No. All right. Yeah, there he is. He's still there. What do you say, Larry?
I'm saying I'm happy. That's the first time I'd ever called and won anything on the radio and to talk to you and to get a dinner one night with my beautiful, lovely wife. I'm just excited.
Well, fantastic. I hope, you know, who knows, when you use your prize package, maybe I'll be at Rocco's and we can have dinner together. What do you think?
I would sure love to meet you and get your autograph. I listen to you pretty frequently, and it's just amazing the things I can learn off the radio.
Well, isn't it funny? That's what this is supposed to be all about. We need to learn stuff.
Yeah, you know, the internet.
We need to find out about things.
Yeah, internet's great, but listening to you is better because I get to hear everything that's going on in Lake Lanier and different places around Georgia. So I stay pretty well informed by listening to your show.
Well, you're very, very kind. Enjoy your coupon and Rocco's, and be sure and say hello. You have a great weekend, pal. You bet. There you go. I'll learn how to manage this thing one day. It's 49 after the hour. We've got time for this. Let's go ahead and talk to John. He's calling, John is calling from Lilburn, Georgia. Good morning, John.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? Two weeks ago, good 2 weeks ago. We were talking to someone up in West Virginia about how to catch catfish. And you both were talking about making blood lures and dough balls. And I'm sorry, but if you want to catch mud cats and carp, that's how you catch those. If you want to catch really good-eating blue cat, channel cat specks, you got to be at least 10 foot above the bottom, and you catch them on live bait only. In fact, the best catfish will be caught on what we call shiners. You probably know what those are, as opposed to a minnow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're big, and they're like, you know, a third of the size of a brim. And that's the way to catch good catfish. You don't get them off the bottom.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you're successful with that.
Well, that's they're just, to me, they're just kind of nasty because they eat off the bottom. But the good channel cats eat live bait in the channels, just like a lot of your other
I know at a lot of times live bait is the primary bait for both flatheads and blue cats.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
But believe me, John, I have caught thousands of pounds of blue cat on the bottom using stink baits and cut shad and cut bait and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, man, whatever works for you, that's what counts.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying I just have found that to be more successful. And the best thing about it is, is doing it on bush hooks and trout lines. That is a lot of fun if you've never done that. That's the way, you know, you can run a whole bunch of fish in one night. Well, you can load the boat, as they say.
I have a friend who is a guide at Santee Cooper. Have you ever been to Santee Cooper?
Yes, I have.
Over in South Carolina?
Uh-huh.
That is probably the best catfishing lake in the world. I haven't fished them all, but that's a good one.
I heard that.
You have heard of him?
Yes.
Captain Darrell?
Yes, sir. Well, no. Go ahead, please.
Okay. The guide is Captain Darrell Smith.
Darrell Smith.
And you have to, he stops fishing when you're out with him. He stops fishing when you have filled up a 70-quart cooler.
Oh, thank you.
Now, think about that for a minute. He's good. Well, listen, hey, thanks for calling, pal.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a lot, all right.
Good to talk to you always. Thank you. Bye.
You bet. Call more often, John. I appreciate it. There you go. Thanks, pal. Listen, it's 53 after the hour. When we come back, maybe we'll have another radio prize package. I don't know. We just may just talk fishing and hiking, and we haven't had any turkey hunting subjects to come up. We might need to talk about turkey hunting a minute when we get back, and then the second hour of Outdoors will be headed your way. This is O'Neill with Works Radio every Saturday morning, 4 to 6 a.m. right here. We'll be back. Big holiday, say goodbye to keeping time. Hey, it's 57 after. We've got our turkey question. I thought he'd start calling pretty soon. Here's Mark calling from Camden County. I bet you're going turkey hunting today.
Yes, sir, I sure am. It's opening day of turkey season, and I'm still breathing.
Yeah, it goes together, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does. It's, let's see, I started in 1974, so I've been going a while. I haven't got tired of it
yet. Yes, you have. Have you got some located?
Yeah, I got my little farm up in Jeff Davis County near Hazelhurst. Couple of cornfields up there that have been mowed, and there'll be some birds out there this morning. If one wanders close enough to me, I might even have some peppered and smoked turkey breast tonight, maybe. If I don't, that's
there you
fine
go.
Too. I've about gotten to the age about like you would agree with, and I've done it so long, it's just the going and doing, and maybe get to see a few birds and hearing them gobble, I'm happy.
That, me too. If I can get one, if I can call one in close, and I don't need to shoot him, I don't.
Right. I mean, you reach a point in your life, you know, where it's the going and the doing that's probably a lot, well, it ain't probably, it is a lot more important than the actual pulling the trigger. That deer hunting, turkey hunting, anything, really.
That's absolutely. But, if I can get him in, that's good enough for me. I don't need to do anything else.
Yep,
I tell you what, I tell you what I do when Gail is with me, we go to a tower stand and call them in.
I've done that a time or two. My cousin has some food plots in Wilcox County, and we'll sit up there and watch the birds. But, you know, my old days of running and gunning, like when I was younger, are about over. I know about where the birds are going to be now. I can still walk. I can still get around. I still hunt the mountains even. But I like to come up to the farm up here, and I spend the day by myself and just interact with the birds. And if I get one up to shoot him, that's fine. And maybe this year I won't get attacked by a coyote. Remember, last year I got rolled by a coyote.
I remember that. Yeah. I've got to go now, but when I come back in the next hour, if you're still listening, still on the road, I have a great story to tell you about coyotes. I want you to stay there. Mark, I'm glad you called, pal. I got to go. Good luck to you today,
my man. Yes, sir. Have a good
weekend. You bet. Good luck to you. This is O'Neill. Another hour of outdoors headed your way.
News. Weather. Traffic. 95.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.